We interrupt this program for a special news bullet.
Do not at us.
This is the steroids talking.
And now, Indy City Football Live!
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine?
That's for the radio.
Oh!
No one's going to hear this.
That's a better CDC.
Bring your own pedals.
We're doing so good at being bad.
We retract the entire show.
More surface area, baby.
Hello, podcast. It's the only show on earth about neighborhood soccer, Indy City Football Live on 99.1 FM WQRT. And now your hosts, Josh Baker, Jason Chisholm, and Jay Desai, with the latest from Big Car, Indy 11, and your neighborhood team.
Hello, and welcome to ICF Live. Yes, ICF insurance car flames.
You're running out of these. We can tell. Yeah, that wasn't funny. It was just insurance nonsense.
That's the worst one.
Insurance car flames?
Insurance car fraud.
No. Welcome to Indy City Football Live, where we talk about Indy City Football plausibly live to you in your ear holes. Let's talk about last week's game of the week. Jay, you were involved in it. What happened?
I thought you would introduce us, maybe.
All right, fine. Hi, Jay.
Hi, this is
Hi, Jason.
Hey, how are you doing, Josh?
Jay, start talking about the game of the week.
Also, if that other voice you heard, Lauren Murray, our foreign correspondent, is here. In office to do the game show, but she may chime in here and there. So, yeah, okay, the game of the week. AC Woodruff Place against Midtown FC. This game has won the SALT Award, the annual SALT Award, which can be passed to a saltier game. Hopefully it doesn't happen.
Hopefully.
My team that I play for, Woodruff Place, won 3-2 against Midtown, but it was... all around, just a messy, kind of snippy affair. No cards were handed out, but boy, did we get really close.
Bit too hotly contested, that's
but
what you're
saying. Yeah, yeah. The dialogue wasn't great. And actually, the one of the nominees for the sports baller, but this would be the Josh Baker Snark Baller of the Week award.
I'm glad that this is named after me. Apparently, Jordan thought that was amusing.
It was a funny submission from Julia Quattrini, the manager of captain of AC Woodruff Place, nominated Colin Rank. Producer's going to have to do some bleeping here, but the description she gave was the 7 p.m. game, which will forever go down in history as the Battle of the Dipsticks. Colin Rank showed fantastic poise and exemplified high moral code as he shouted not just at the dipshits on the opposing team, but the dipshits on his own team to, quote, f***ing stop and to, quote, calm the f*** down during his game. His aggressive, non-discriminate scolding of this type of behavior truly embodies ICF's mission of inclusiveness. Bravo, Colin, for alienating everyone but being the best guy.
Yeah, Colin's a good dude and normally keeps people in line, so that's not super surprising. But it is a bit disappointing that that's something that had to happen. So
yes, well, that's true.
I see a future for Colin as a referee for when his playing days are done.
That is so true.
What way, if you went back to the game, what way would you take to make it not get so out of hand?
I can't speak truly objectively, but I think that what could have happened is the refs could have thrown out a card real early.
And
people can't tend to calm down when someone has to go off.
Okay.
But unfortunately, it's, you know, all the players are pretty skilled and have been in these kind of games before, so they knew how to be like right on the edge before. But yeah, I don't know. People watching also felt like there were some tackles that just a little card. Someone, even right as the half approaches so that the person isn't off the whole half.
Yeah.
But that could have been done better. I know I could have talked less trash. I definitely slipped, and Colin had to put me a line. He's like, "That's, is that how a league official talks?" And I was like, "Okay, you know what? You're right. I'm just gonna shut up." So,
all right. So hopefully, we keep getting games that are close like that, but not so contentious.
That's right. Just friendly hug fests that are super close.
Yeah. On to other results. We had AC Miles Square beating Real West 7-1.
You had Sporting Heron Morton continue their winning streak over Upper Downtown 3-0.
But only three. That's good on Upper Downtown. Only letting in three to Heron Morton.
They've had some tough games. They're a much better team than these last few results have shown.
They could be running out of gas, though.
It could be. Seems unlikely.
Seems unlikely.
In our set of ties, which we haven't had any draws this season yet, but this week we had numerous, Meridian Kessler and Irvington FC 4-4.
And then in the game that I was involved in, Mapleton tied Old North United 6-6.
Oh, my God. 6-6.
12-goal thriller. it's not good to be a goalie when the other team scores six on you, but they Mapleton's very good, and they had an interesting strategy where they placed one of their girls in goal who I don't think was very well-versed in being a goalie.
Oh.
So they had an extra guy in the field, but someone that wasn't necessarily as strong in goal.
Oh, I see.
So I think that's what led to the whole 6-6-ness of it.
What's your excuse then, Josh?
Mapleton's really good. They had a lot of good shots from distance. So
they are pretty good. Well, I mean, that's pretty much the same thing that happened with Old North, right? The less skilled person was in the goal, and then six goals came.
Exactly. Maybe not.
That person is Josh. Everyone listening, that's Josh. Josh Baker.
I'll let you know that Jordan and I are doing a one-on-one competition every week of the season, and he has only scored once out of the 4 weeks so far.
Oh.
So
okay, well,
Jordan's just that terrible, I think.
Finishing out our draws this week, another high-scoring game, Garfield Athletic Club versus Real Fletcher Place, 0-0. Next game, we have FC Found Square, my game. We played against Mass Ave United. We were tied at half.
Okay.
And then
I don't think that's the final score.
What was the rest of the...
We were 2-2, tied at half.
This is an unreliable account.
Okay. What happened in the second half?
What happened in the second half, Jason?
They scored two more goals.
So what was the final score? Wanted you to say these words.
Mass Ave United 1-4 to over FC Fountain Square 2.
That Jason is crying. He's weeping. It's really gross. He's... not everywhere.
Hey, that's
no, but you guys played well. I like the when I looked over, every time I looked over, it wasn't a blowout. I mean,
no,
they weren't running roughshod over you.
No, it was our best game to date for sure. So,
oh, and interesting news for Fountain Square, last minute signing because they have an injury crisis. The commissioner has allowed more people to sign up. David Strange, past prolific goal scorer, deep lying forward, has signed up, and he will be starting this week. He's played like 3 years in a row, I think, up until this year. So hopefully that'll change fortunes.
Yeah.
Broad Ripple City beat Atletico Cottage Home 4-1. Cottage Home having a rough season after making the final last year. I asked them if it's a rebuilding year, and one of their players said, maybe next year is rebuilding. So is it a demolition year? I don't know.
Oh, that's not encouraging. Then our last game of the week, we had Old Speedway City beating Bates Hendricks FC 4-0. Bates seems like they were... still on their high from the Golden Growler win, and maybe suffered a hangover on that one.
A one-week hangover.
If you saw them at Bauhaus, then they celebrated that very hard.
It's true.
I think I saw the Instagram pic where he's in bed with the trophy. Well, so
that was interesting. You're listening to the home of Indy City Football Live, 99.1 FM, WQRT, Indianapolis.
So our challenge this week was the best keeper kit. We don't know who that was, do we?
It says right in front of you.
I haven't read that way. I didn't read that far into this. Okay, so the best keeper kit award goes to it's a four-way win.
Okay. We need to give
so much shilling going on.
We need to give Jordan some crap on this.
Let's make everyone happy all the time.
This is not okay. There needs to just be a winner. So apparently Bates and Mapleton, they both wore suits during the game, and so that was suiting up. But Barney Stinson is very 2010, and we should just get over it. And then we also had Mass Ave and Real West for unique costumes. Who knows what
they did Real West wear?
I don't know.
I think it was a dinosaur.
That was cool. That was good. They should have won. That was funny. But he was riding a T-Rex.
But he didn't wear it during the game.
No, I think you have to wear it during the game to get the credit. That's where I was saying.
Yeah. I think that the commissioner had a real soft week, felt like handing out a lot of... I wonder if everyone got, or was it like split?
I don't know.
Did he split a little
I think they split the points.
Ouch.
I need to check the table. Maybe Fountain Square got a bonus point just for Jordan feeling nice this week.
This week's ICF challenge is best team signs. So if you got some fans... maybe real fans instead of oscillating ones, ask them to make some signs for you this week and you might win some points. Probably not, or if you do, it'll be split like 7 ways because
well, we split it 18 ways this
And that wasn't an endorsement to make a sign, tape it to a fan and have it oscillate your one sign.
No,
and don't do wordplay, just make a good sign.
What about like supernatural signs?
Here we go. Unfortunately, there's a Mapleton taint to this episode.
In terms of our volunteer and transit standings, as you know, we like to reward people for either volunteering in the community or taking responsible means of transportation to and from games. And we, to keep you updated on that, Bates Hendricks FC is still in the lead for transit, but... we have a new leader in volunteer points. It's no longer Irvington FC. It's Meridian Kessler United.
Meridian Kessler United. United.
So good on them. They took a very slim lead in volunteer points. So that's going to be a race between the two of them. I think it's also quite a few points that they have. So that's definitely helping them in seeding. So
let's hope that this year we have a team that succeeds at getting 3 whole points. From volunteering, transit, everything, they pull it through.
I think we're probably gonna have that because I don't believe Irvington has won yet this year.
They drew.
They
this
drew.
Week, so they have
but
one
they
point.
Have 2.5 points or so in standings,
what?
And they've only I think it's 2.4 if I remember correctly.
good.
So they're halfway to
and
3.
And we're only halfway through the league. So excellent. Yeah.
So this week's game of the week is going to be Midtown FC versus Sporting Heron Morton.
These are both very physical and very tough teams.
Also very
I'm
good
bringing,
teams.
I'm bringing popcorn. I'm not kidding. I'm actually several of us in Woodruff who have played against Heron Morton and have played against Midtown intend to watch.
It's going to be a good game. Hopefully everyone will keep their heads on their shoulders and not get too intense about it. But it should be very good.
Yeah, and you know what? This is actually going to be a kind of a sneak preview of what these two teams are contenders. So this is a
this could be definitely a late playoff battle as well.
It's a 7 p.m. game if anyone out there wants to watch it this week.
Yeah.
As usual, we don't know who could win. This really could go in either direction, but we do know who everyone is sponsored by.
We do. Midtown FC is sponsored by Midtown Indy. Who, as we learned last week, is not the Center for Disease Control, but a community development corporation.
Yeah.
And then Sporting Heron Morton is sponsored by Nottingham Realty Group.
So this is, again, So this is a purely, pure property price real estate battle. But I'd earlier when we were doing a run through of the show, I was like, this is going to be a kind of like just a bubble economy type thing. But actually, on second thought, I don't think so. Nottingham Realty is a private company that does, you know, like development around Indianapolis. Midtown is a community development corporation. They don't have that much money.
They don't. So. But if Midtown closed its borders and maybe put up a wall, Nottingham likes to sell homes in the Midtown area. They would be, Sporting Heron Morton is part of Midtown. Remember we talked about this week. Midtown is much bigger than what you think. So Fall Creek, Heron Morton, Sobro, all those places are Midtown. And if Nottingham can't sell homes there, that's gonna hurt their bottom line.
That's one way to use public money to build a wall to destroy a private company. All right. Well, okay, then I'm gonna call it for Midtown.
Are you? All right.
I'm Nicole from Midtown.
Speaking of Midtown, the after party this week is in Broad Ripple at Three Wise Men. It's going to be hosted by Broad Ripple City. Three Wise Men is at 1021 Broad Ripple Avenue, so right there on the Broad Ripple Strip. Go there anytime after the 6 p.m. games and say hello to my cousin. His name is Kyle.
Just ask for Kyle. No, don't ask for Kyle.
I mean, you can. I don't know if he'll be there. I haven't talked to him, but he does work there.
Okay, so we're going to do our Brady Pierce Sports Baller of the Week. And this week, we're actually going to do a sports team. The whole AC Garfield was nominated this week by Andy Howard. And their description reads, Real Fletcher Place and Garfield Athletic Club were so sports baller-like that we really just couldn't stand to score a goal and make the other team feel bad. So we ended 0-0.
What a lovely bit of sportsmanship, and what a great way to couch your team not playing very well.
Yeah. So I guess all of Garfield Athletic Club is now a nominee. So that's Garfield as a team. So if you guys, I don't know, I guess they're in for the whole annual. So no individual, though.
No, so. Just the whole team. So if anyone on the team acts poorly, then they tank their chances to win Sports Baller of the Year. You're listening to Indy City Football Live on 99.1 WQRT LP Indianapolis. Let's move on and talk about Indy 11. Last week, Indy 11 played Toronto FC 2, the worst team in the league. And can you guess what they did this week?
Well, I was going to watch it on TV, but...
We'll get to that in a moment, but...
Do you think that they won? Are you going to tell me that they won?
I was going to have you guess. Do you think they won against the worst team
in the
league?
I didn't think that they won.
Okay, well, the team they were playing has had 11 losses and 2 ties.
Okay, I think that they won.
That's a good thought. Indy 11 won the game 3-1. They scored 2 goals right after halftime. After a tie game after the first, and went on to win 3-1. That means that they jumped from 10th to 6th in the standings with now 21 points. But things are still very close in the standings. Second place has 24 points, and 11th has 18. So there's 6 points separating 9 places. So things can still move very fluidly in the USL Eastern Conference.
And who do they play this week?
They don't play again till June 26th, which is next Tuesday. So our show...
Is that home game? I want to go to another match, so I want to know when the next home game is.
I don't remember if it's home or away. Let me pull up my calendar.
This is where Jordan furiously Googles everything.
It is in Nashville.
Oh, okay.
The next home game is not till June 30th. But yeah, so we'll talk about that game next week. So what you mentioned earlier is that there was no actual way to watch this match this week.
There was not.
Do you know the lowdown on that?
No, I do not.
Is that because Toronto FC didn't have a field that has Wi-Fi?
I forgot that we were calling them Toronto.
I added a second to Toronto.
Toronto.
They didn't have Wi-Fi because it's a reserve team.
So the USL, they committed this year to stream every game. It was originally going to be on YouTube, and then a few weeks in, switched to ESPN Plus, their new subscription service. But they decided they weren't going to stream this game and did not give a reason why. So it was everybody that paid for a subscription to the new ESPN Plus service did not get to watch it, even though they were promised they were going to. So
now, I do know the game was not played in Toronto, but somewhere in New York. And there was some story there about why they were... playing in like Rochester, New York.
We will get back to you guys with this as the story unfolds. We will get back to you, our massive audience. We're actually going to send people in the field to figure out.
Yeah,
where this
we're going to send someone to New York.
You can call us at the studio, and the phone number is no longer listed on the wall where I normally look.
No,
so.
if you know why it couldn't stream, you can email us at I figured out the mystery of the unstreamed game at IndyCityFootball.com.
So that's I figured out the mystery of the unstreamed game at IndyCityFootball.com.
Don't spell that wrong, though.
Yeah, please, please email us and let us know why there wasn't any streaming. Let's talk about the opportunities we have to get involved next week. Jay?
All right, well, we've got quite a few this week. So May 16th through June 27th, that's ongoing, is the book drive that the league is doing for Indie Reads Books. So you can donate your gently used or read one-time books to Indie Reads, bring them to the pitch, and you'll earn some extra points. League will collect them and pass them on. There's a limit of 12 books per player. I noticed a massive pile of books donated by Bates Hendricks, which seemed like a very large amount. So we've actually got a bunch of financial experts looking at shell companies in Delaware that are possibly buying up books and laundering them for points. So there's a big point laundering investigation going on.
And this is the second to last week to bring them in.
That's right. The 27th of June is when it ends.
So if you're not going to be there next week, like maybe me, you should bring your books in on Wednesday so that you can get the points for this.
Right. And then Saver Midtown occurs this now through June 24th. Check out savermidtown.com for participating restaurants. It's a food thing, kind of like Devour Downtown.
Yeah, and we've been talking about Midtown a lot, so
it's all
like a Midtown episode, and then there's a rummage sale at Fountain Square Vintage. It's a huge ongoing sale. They're trying to clean out two storage units, two semis, and a box truck filled with lots of miscellaneous vintage items. That's a lot of vintage.
Hopefully they have some goal scorers in those storage units for us.
Yeah, hopefully you have some strikers.
Yeah.
Well, maybe there might be just like little participation trophies.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yes. Maybe.
And that would be more appropriate for Crown Square.
Oh, yeah.
So that's Wednesday and Thursday, 11 to 6, Friday and Saturday, 11 to 9, and Sunday, 11 to 5. So, and finally,
my favorite event,
the Indianapolis Mega Adoption Event at the State Fairgrounds. So it's 12 to 6, Saturday and Sunday. Rescue groups will bring over 1,000 fantastic dogs and cats of all breeds, ages, and sizes for you to meet. And if you fall in love, you'll adopt them through the rescue group that bought them. Adoption fees are just $30. All animals are already fixed and chipped, and you can take them home to your family that day.
So that's pretty great. If you need a new team mascot and you want to find, you would like to adopt instead of using a puppy mill, because you don't want to be a terrible person, you go to the State Fairgrounds and adopt a pet for only $30. Then
yeah, and you can yeah. There will be no points for this. The points are the ones that'll get you to heaven. Okay, those are the points you'll get for that.
You will get good place points, guaranteed.
Good place points. Mm. Good reference.
Is Jordan gonna play my music if he's not here?
No, I don't think so.
It's the Indy City Football Power Rankings with Jason Chizzo. And now, Jason Chizzo.
Okay, so Power Rankings time. You guys all ready for this?
Not really. I mean, kind of know what to expect.
I think we all know it's going to go poorly. So.
We're going to do the Power Rankings for the Indy City Football Live Bracket Challenge, which we'll talk about.
Wait, you're spoiling
the new ground. He's actually doing it pertaining to the league in a loose sense, but it's
very
loose sense.
All right. Whatever. I'll allow it for a
so
little bit.
So what's the deal,
all
right,
so we just had a new entrant since we started the podcast today. How dare you, sir, just entered into our official league group. He has 0 points right now because I don't think you picked any of the...
That would be whoever that man is. His name might be Jay Desai. Whoever that man is a very principled man who did not want to pick the outcomes and scoring, goal scoring names and times and results of every match. He just wanted to pick the group winners. Anyway, he's dead last.
That was perhaps poor strategy.
Sometimes principles don't work out.
Moving up the table, we'll jump a few, go up to the commish, who is 16th.
16th
out
of the
19.
19.
That's very bad.
That's not good, Commissioner Jordan.
No, it's not.
Do you even know soccer, bro?
Okay, we are gonna jump up to fifth place though. We'll just do the final five. Tied For fifth place is the Josh Baker.
I like that guy. He's nice.
Just Bates Picks, which I'm assuming is someone from Bates Hendrix.
Or all of them together.
And that's Jaycest, which that's is Jaycest. That's me.
So you guys are all tied. Cool.
Yep, all tied. Only 40 points out from the lead right now. So one good match and right back in it. Third place is tied between Wagnerar, and BT Dollar Signs.
Bitcoin? Okay, remove that person.
And second place, someone named Jeremy.
Good on you, Jeremy. Good on you, mate.
And then we also have leading the group right now, has a good lead. He has a 20-point lead right now, is the BRCFC _ Super Picks.
That would be the Broad Ripple City, I guess. Broad Ripple City had a team pick.
I guess
okay, well, good on you, Broad Ripple City. Once we get past all this, I will win because clearly you've made some bad choices. So.
But yeah, that's after the first round of games. So that was... a power rankings that was almost useful.
Almost.
That was Power Rankings with Jason Chisholm.
And now we're going to go live. We're not on location. We're live today, right here, right now. We're going to go live to our foreign correspondent, Lauren Murray.
Hello, Indianapolis. Welcome to your favorite game show, Better Know a Neighborhood. Where you better know a neighborhood.
This is Sarah.
Hi, Sarah. This is Better Know a Neighborhood.
Oh my gosh, am I caller number 10?
You're caller number 2.
Number 2?
Yes.
That's better than 10.
Do I have your consent to go forward?
Sure.
Perfect. I'm here in the studio with Sarah of Old North United. How long have you been playing in Indy City football?
This will be my third year.
As you may know, if you answer all of my questions correctly, you will be carted off to Stringtown to fend for yourself. You will be required to stay within a 1 mile radius of the drop-off point, and I will provide you with a pencil and paper so you can write down your experiences and report back to our local listeners. Does that sound good?
Yes.
Thank you, and I'll have to send the car service to your current location. We'll get that off air. So let's get down to business. Where is Stringtown?
I don't know.
All right. Stringtown is located right across...
All right.
Well, I don't know what else to say, Sarah, you know. Stringtown is located right across the river in the near west side, west of White River State Park. Supposedly, Stringtown got its name from the fact that the people living in string of houses across Washington Street near the river waved across the river and they said hi. And somebody said, wow, what town is that? It looks like string. Stringtown. So,
you literally sound like you're being tickled as you're trying to...
I am being tickled by my own mind. So our second question is the play... Duchess of Stringtown, set in the late 19th century, is based on the mysterious poisoning of Joanne Kitchen, one of Indianapolis's most powerful madames. How many acts does the play have?
Two.
Very close, very close. The play has one act. It was funded out of a two-year, $100,000 grant from the Lilly Endowment through the Arts Council of Indianapolis. Its budget...
Hold on. They spent $100,000 on a one-act play?
They got $16,000 from that grant, and they put it into this play.
Okay.
Yeah.
Only 16.
Only 16.
Someone still spent $100,000. Go on, please. Sorry.
Okay, our third question. Earlier this year, a delivery truck was stolen from Stringtown Food Pantry, Lord's Pantry in Anna's house. It was used to transport food to the pantry. Less than a week later, a local person donated a new truck to keep the kitchen operational. What was the name of this good Samaritan?
I literally have no clue. I feel like I needed a rough draft of what I was anticipating.
I'm really sorry. Okay, well, it was Andy Ellis of Ellis Electrical and Mechanical on the city's south side. Thank you, Andy Ellis. Well, Sarah, you might not have gotten today's questions right, but I think we all learned a valuable lesson. Thank you so much.
I'm sorry, Sarah.
Well, Josh is furiously texting an apology to Sarah for a random phone call where she had no idea what it was. Okay, and now in the ICF media review, there was a long article about the how Mapleton has found God. We have someone who may or may not be engaged in operating the Mapleton Twitter account. What's your response to the article in one word or less, please?
Indianapolis.
Yeah, so right now, Jordan is
the best,
and I think he's in Colorado. So, Jordan, are you there?
I'm here. How's it going?
Well, I mean, now I have to listen to your voice, so maybe not as well as it was.
You need to stop talking so sweet to me.
I love you, Jordan. So we were going to talk about the reason we're doing a special call-in version today, other than the fact that you're not here. We had a very salty game that we heard about earlier between Woodruff Place and Midtown, and just maybe wanted to hear some sage wisdom from you about this.
Yeah, so I think one of the things that's interesting, you know, anytime there's a competitive game, you know, people like to compete, and that's okay, but sometimes that can get a little bit out of hand. You know, maybe a certain foul doesn't get called, and then somebody thinks, oh, I can get away with that, and then sort of retaliates, right? And that can quickly devolve into a game that's not the kind of game that we're looking for in Indy City football. I think both the managers and most of the players from Midtown and Woodruff agree that the kind of game that we had on Wednesday was maybe not the ideal that we're looking for. And I think one of the interesting things is, from most reports, it was relatively competitive until halftime. But when things start getting out of hand, it's important, whether it's the managers or players, for somebody to
take ownership of that and not just let things spiral out of control. It's on everybody. It's not just if you're feeling that anger, competition rise up, you gotta take a breath and step back.
Right.
Exactly. So, and if that's obviously, you know, that requires 16 different people coming to that conclusion. So if things aren't heading that way, sub yourself out. Come get the commissioner. I'll come watch the game. Kind of take a look, see if, you know, maybe the refs aren't calling the things that they should.
So you're encouraging us to tattle on other players.
I'm encouraging us to all try to participate to have Indy City football-like games. And if that requires me coming over and playing bad cop, I'm happy to do that.
That's reasonable. So basically, everybody, if you don't want Jordan to come on the podcast again next week and talk to you like he's your disappointed dad, please stop being jerks and just play and have fun.
Happy Father's Day, everybody.
Happy Father's Day from ICF's dad, Jordan. So, yeah, that's, as we said earlier, be nice to other people. They're also people.
This is Indy City Football Live, and you're listening on 99.1 FM WQRT Indianapolis.
Let's talk about the World Cup!
Yeah, let's.
Let's do. All right, so we've had each team has played one game so far. Who do you think who's your most impressive and who's your least impressive?
Well, I've watched absolutely none of the games. The one highlight I saw was the Iceland's keeper blocking Messi, so I'll go with that.
Okay. So that's your most impressive team is Iceland.
Sure.
Who's your least impressive team?
Oh, by this logic, Argentina, yeah.
That's super easy. Straightforward. Good analysis.
Yeah. Great.
You know what? The most convincing, Belgium. They just had I don't know if you had an opportunity to watch that. They just had a convincing game against Panama.
Panama.
But Panama is... In terms of like quality deficit, it's more of a bridge than, say, for example, Switzerland against Brazil, which was awesome. I mean, except all the violence, but
yeah.
But it's hard to tell with Neymar whether he's actually being fouled or he's just
flopping.
A wind pattern has thrown him to the floor. So, but yeah, I mean, the Portugal and Spain was great. It's hard to tell who's impressive because they both kind of fired well.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, honestly, the first round of games was It was very good. There was only really one blowout, and that was probably state-sponsored and helped along by Putin.
The
so
the Russia game.
Yeah. So I mean, whatever. So who's your least impressive? If Belgium is your most impressive,
Argentina, man. Oh man, I didn't see the Germany game, but Argentina was just garbage, uninspiring and flat.
Well, for me, I'm saying right before we recorded, England played very, very well against Tunisia, and even though the scoreline was only 2-1, if you know what XG is, expected goals, they were expected to score about 3.5 or 4, and only gave up like 0.2, and that's really, really good. So, going forward.
What do you mean? England was expected to score.
Do you want me to do an expected goals explainer? I would love
to. Well, I
don't
know what direction it goes in. Is all.
So expected goals, basically, you take the average of a shot in a certain location from a certain manner, whether it's foot or head, assisted by what, whether it was a dribble, a through ball, or a cross.
Mm-hmm.
And you average up all of the different times that that has happened and give it a value that says this action scores a goal this percentage of time.
Okay.
So they had a very good game in terms of expected goals.
Okay.
So they should have scored based on this system. They should have scored about 3.5 and only given up like 0.2. So that's a blowout, and that's a pretty big drubbing in terms of expected goals.
They played in the first 15 minutes, played extremely well in classic England fashion. The first like 10, 15 minutes is just like magic, and then it's like...
Yeah. So anyway...
most of this will be lucky to make the podcast.
Oh, yeah. People do not want to hear about expected goals.
but let's talk more about Tunisia. I mean, world powerhouse Tunisia, right?
Like, yeah, it's a real upset.
They're actually ranked...
like 21st.
21st FIFA's rankings, but FIFA's rankings are garbage. So the
other thing is North African teams tend to beat up on like the rest of Africa. So when they play the African Cup.
They played very well in African qualifying, but they seem to be more of a bunker down type of team. So I'm still on my England train. As you know, they have lots of Tottenham players, and that is my favorite team. And my least impressive probably honestly is Germany. I don't think that they had a good plan against Mexico.
It seemed like it was, all the highlights looked like they just got slapped around.
Well, just it's like they didn't have a midfield. Mm-hmm. They played like 7 forwards and 2 center backs and just decided that that's how they were going to try to win the game. And, Mexico is a good counterattacking team. And honestly, they screwed up 90% of their counterattacks and still ended up winning the game. So
was there there's an old Champions League thing that used to, it doesn't really apply anymore since Real Madrid won so many times. But it was like the Champions League hangover. Is there like a thing like that in the World Cup where it's like, you know, World Cup hangover?
Honestly, I think there might be a little bit of something to this because the last few winners, I think it's 3 out of the last 4 or something around that have not won their opening game. So the next World Cup. So I don't know. There might be something to it.
And Germany should still be favored to get out of the group.
I mean,
it would be weird. Yeah. It would be actually probably some sort of record.
It would be very surprising if they didn't make it out. But I thought their first game performance was not very good. And Jurgen Löw just did not have the tactics right, so.
Yeah, well, we're going to have to see what happens in the coming week. A lot of good matchups. Go to your own website stuff. We're not here to tell you about that stuff.
I mean, you can look up the World Cup. Everyone's talking about it.
And you can still join our Indy City Football Live ESPN bracket. You can still join. If you haven't made your picks yet, don't worry. You can still probably beat How Dare You, Sir.
You know what? I'm going to go and do the rest of the picks today because I don't really want to be dead last. Fine, I'll do it.
Well, I mean, if you didn't want to be dead last, you should have tried earlier.
It's not too late.
Is there a prize for this?
There is, actually. If you win, you get to have you get to be interviewed by us on the show. And if one of us wins...
Lauren's then about signing up on our phone right now to make
Now what happens
one of us
like,
wins, we get to just talk. We get to filibuster a whole episode.
I like this idea.
Now what happens though if a team account like Just Bates picks or the BRCFC super
Bates
picks.
Hendricks gets nothing.
No, no, the entire team comes in.
No, no. You, it's one representative from
yeah,
the team.
Yeah, choose your tribute.
And we will talk to them for
it'd be fun to get
while.
The whole team in here.
No,
I
thank
think we
you.
Can all fit.
No.
You know what? We'll take the field recorder to a game day, and they can all sure. yell into it for about 30 seconds. And
yeah,
then
that's fine.
That's what you get.
If you really want that. All right, now we're going to talk to John Green. Hey, John. Do you want to talk about Hank's book? I do. Hank, your brother, as you might know, has a book coming out called An Absolutely Remarkable Thing. What?
Nothing. Just keep going. Sorry.
Do you think that he doesn't know? I think he knows about it.
I'm sorry, John. I'm not laughing at your brother. It's Josh that I'm laughing at.
I'm a ridiculous human being. Hank's book is coming out on September 25th, 2018, and is available for pre-order now. I actually, just in the past week, stopped by Indie Reads, which is my favorite local bookstore, and ordered it, pre-ordered it there, because pre-ordering it from your local bookstore is so much better than pre-ordering it from Amazon, because that way, local people get your money instead of Jeff Bezos, and he doesn't need any more money. No response to me openly calling out the founder of Amazon?
I just fully agree with all of these okay. things.
And we'll see in the emails next week. But that was a good...
I disagree with Josh about Amazon at anycityfootball.com if you're so inclined to stick up for a huge corporation who makes billions of dollars.
That was a good John Green minute.
Oh, I have more things to say about
okay.
the book.
Okay.
It is about a girl who becomes internet famous and has no idea what to do about that and it, how it changes her life. Cool.
Rebecca Black.
Hopefully the plot will be better than
the, life
the
story
plot
of Rebecca,
of Rebecca
Black.
Black's life.
Dark Friday, the Rebecca Black story.
But anyway, you should check out Hank Green's book, An Absolutely Remarkable Thing. It is available for pre-order now. I think Hank's a good guy, and I think that John thinks that Hank is a good guy, too. So I am happy in promoting this for John.
Yeah.
About Hank. I think that sentence makes sense.
Yeah, we'll check it in post.
This week's podcast, radio show, whatever it is we're doing, is brought to you by awkward phone calls with people that used to be your friends. Awkward phone calls with people that used to be your friends. It's awkward.
We're also brought to you by one-act plays about your favorite neighborhood, Stringtown. I don't know what it's about, but I'm sure the $16,000 that went to it was put to good use.
This week is brought to you by emptiness. The emptiness you feel when you can't come up with a good joke to make everybody laugh.
Also brought to you by the emptiness that Garfield AC and...
Real Fletcher plays.
Yeah, they felt.
Oh, and there's 0-0 draw. Oh, so close to landing it there, Jason.
So close. This week was also brought to you by adopting a pet. You should do
this
it.
This is a good one. Yeah, okay. Yeah, fine.
And they're available
That's
this
the opposite
weekend
of emptiness. Because you feel State full Fair in your Ground. heart.
Because pets are awesome. And for real, this week was brought to you by Big Car. Big Car, they do art and stuff in your community and build it.
Big Car. Without Big Car, all of the hosts of this show would be homeless. Okay, no. But, it's what motivates me to go to work, to be able to do this radio show and play in the league. If I wasn't in the league and in this radio show, I would just sell everything and be on the streets.
And that's what everyone gets to look forward to if Jay here wins the bracket.
If I win the bracket, it's just that. Me just going, Big Car, you're the best.
But seriously, thank you to Big Car. They host this show. They host this radio station, and they also facilitate the league. So they do a lot for us, and we are very grateful that they take an interest not only in art but sports in the community. So thank you to Big Car, and thank you to all of you listeners out there. We very much appreciate your listenership. And it's surprising to us that there are people that actually listen.
That's right. Jason got across. Someone was Andy Fletcher from
Fletcher Place.
Sorry, Andy Howard from Fletcher Place. Sorry, Andy Fletcher. Fletcher Place players all changed their name to Fletcher to be part of the team. But Andy Howard from Fletcher Place was...
It saves on printing for the jerseys, just one last name for everybody.
But he was standing around, I guess, and Jason was there. And as Jason left, he said, "Is that Jason Chisholm?"
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Yeah, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
But anyway, thank you guys so much for listening, and we will talk to you next week.
Bye. Thank you. Goodbye.
Thanks.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day in this beauty wood, a neighborly day for a beauty. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? I have always wanted to have a neighbor just like